What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Orale Bohides. Today, I am joined by one of the co-owners of Esquina Bike Shop. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, everyone. My name is Olin. I am the co-owner of Esquina Bicycle Shop. My sister is the other owner. She's not here today, but I'll be here today.
Excellent. Yeah, man, thank you so much for making the time, for coming through. You also hooked it up with Chilaquiles right now before we started recording.
Yeah. Well, felt bad about yesterday. Missed our meeting.
It happens.
Good Mexican, I gotta make it up, man.
Yeah. So let folks know, where did you get the Chilaquiles from?
So my grandparents, they own a restaurant in Echo Park called Tamales Alberto. Shameless plug right now, right? And that's where we got them from. They serve food in Mexico City style and Oaxacan food, homemade. Mm. Yeah. We've been there since the one on Temple, about 25 years maybe, something like that.
All right, that's a long time. But they also have tamales too, right?
They do. That's what they started with. And then a couple years ago, they started selling Mexican food.
All right.
Yeah.
So how far ahead do you have to put in those tamale orders?
During the holidays, at least 2 to 3 weeks before.
Dang.
Yeah. Any other day?
Just kind of drop in and grab one.
Just drop in, yeah.
All right. Yeah, so if you have a big order, you got to place them ahead of time. But yeah, those chilaquiles were bomb. Check them out if you're in Echo Park. I'm a chilaquile connoisseur, so I wouldn't lead you astray.
Nice.
But yeah, we're at the bike shop right now, Esquina off Whittier and Boyle here in Boyle Heights. And yeah, that's basically why I wanted to have Olin talk to me today, because I think as many of us have seen the last 2 years, so many businesses have been struggling. You know, some haven't been able to make it. Some have been opening in this craziness. And you're one of those shops, right? Y'all opened up last year in the middle of the pandemic.
We opened up July 2020. Yeah.
What was that like?
Bro. It was a fucking trip, man. Can we cuss?
Yeah, man, it's the internet. Try to stay closer to the microphone so folks can hear you.
It was a trip, man. I wasn't doing well. My sister wasn't doing well. She had gotten COVID like a month prior. And everything was still new. We didn't know what the hell was going on, right? Like, she was freaking out. We were freaking out. We were like, nobody wanted to talk about it, but we were like, what the fuck's going to happen to her, you know? Like,
damn.
So we were all tripping, man, and like, I was doing bad, so I told her, you know, I was, hey, you know, maybe we should do something when you get better. Like, you know, just trying to lighten up everything up.
Yeah.
And I was like, we should do something. And she's like, well, I have to, because I'm going to start school. Like, she was going to go back to college. So she's like, I got to do something. And I told her we should do a bicycle shop / thrift store. So that was the original idea.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember, our logo back then was Esquina Bicycles and Thrift.
I have to look back on Instagram.
Yeah. So if you scroll down all the way on our Instagram, you can see it
there. All right. So that was the first idea.
Yeah. That was the first idea. We came up with that in about a week. She came up with the name for the shop. She's like, because it's in the corner or something like that. I think that's kind of how it went down. So let's call it Esquina. And then I designed everything on Illustrator and did the whole thing.
All right.
But yeah, man, it was stressful. Came up with it in 1 week, and we planned out, we had a layout. Half the store is going to be bicycles, half the store was going to be thrift.
Okay.
But the thrift never came along because of the COVID restrictions.
Yeah, it's hard to get folks in here sometimes. A lot of group of folks in here, yeah. And even swap meets también, they're having their own issues having to deal with that también.
Yeah, at the time you couldn't have people try on clothes. Right?
Yeah.
And people couldn't even go into businesses at all. So we were like, you know, we'll just do bicycles because it's the only thing that's... because it was one of those businesses that the city was deeming as essential.
Yeah.
So that's why we went for that.
Yeah, it's been a trip the last year. And so to see what got designated as an essential business and who and how people got designated as like essential workers. And it was a trip to see some non-medical stuff in there, like bicycle shops, right? Because like I think most of us have seen, or maybe y'all have experienced this yourself. Maybe you picked up a new bike, or you picked up riding your bike again in the middle of all of that's happening, because you know, it's a bit safer. You know, you're not in a group of a place. You're not in a big group with people unless you're doing, like, critical mass rides or something like that. But it was, you know, one way to get around the neighborhood, get some physical activity. And it also increased demands for more bike shops, right?
Yep. That's why I put two and two together, and I was like, this bicycles are going to sell. We're seeing it in other shops, people I know who have their shops. So I was like, you know, let's do that. And she was down for it, man. And we put what little money we had together. It was like 4K, 5K. Mm. And we looked for... The saddest part was looking for a spot, man.
Okay.
Because I went all around the city and I cataloged and took pictures of all these empty spaces all over the neighborhoods or the barrios and even on the west side. And I cataloged about 30 spots, man.
That's a lot.
In July, yeah.
That's a lot.
I stopped at that because I was like, I don't want to see this shit anymore.
So what were you seeing?
Just empty businesses, people that...
Shit.
You know, didn't make it. So it was kind of depressing, but...
You kind of see what they were before, like yeah. What was left over.
Yeah, man. And businesses that had been there since I was a kid, you know. So I found this one, and yeah, we put in 5K. We got nothing, bro. If you scroll down to the bottom of our Instagram, you can see the shop was just half of this space here. And our cases, our jewel boxes had, like, just, like, a couple things.
Yeah, you're just starting out. And, I mean, that also speaks to... some of the renovation that's happened to the space as well since y'all have been here in the last year. But a little bit more on that later. But we can also get to know you a little bit more. Like, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Echo Park.
Hey.
Echo Park.
Mi vida loca.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, man. All those stories I've had with friends talking about when they saw it filmed. Yeah. It was right on Echo Park Avenue, right in the middle of it.
That's the trip. Yeah, dude, I think I saw that they saw it again out of, like, curiosity a couple of years ago. And it's just a trip to see it in a different mindset of, like, dang, that's not there anymore. That doesn't look like that anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Or even the movie itself recognizing, like, weird cameos, like, by actors like Spike Jones or, like, Jason Lee, who's a famous skateboarder and actor. And I'm like, damn, those fools were in there. Like, they were trying to buy a crack from, like, the one fool.
Or Danny Trejo was on it, too.
Yeah, dude, like, so many, like, random cameos, but at the peak of those, like, Chicano, Cholo movies about the hood.
Yeah, man, when was it made? Do you remember?
Like, middle of the 90s, like, 93, 94.
Well, I was born in 95, so I don't remember a lot of those movies, but I grew up seeing them. You know, it was kind of like my introduction to this lifestyle. but yeah, man, we need movies like that again.
Well, we need movies like that. We don't need shows like that.
No shows like that?
No, I'm not a fan of Hentified.
What? What? Why not?
Nah, well, I mean, if I'm going to keep it funky, it's because I think I know too much about how the writers and showrunners and the people behind the show... Mm-hmm. Kind of took the ideas and were very liberal with, like, taking ideas of the neighborhood and specifically people too. Mm. The same with Vida, también, the other show.
Never seen that one.
That one's, you have to pay for it because it's on cable.
That's why.
Yeah, but it, you know, growing up in the neighborhood, being up in the mix, being up in the chisme, it's hard not to notice how some of the homies who have been active in leading some movements and spaces are being represented on these TV shows as, like, kind of like the way they are in person, but not, because that's not them, right? Mm. Like, they're just taking the idea of them and turning them into a character for this TV show.
I see your point. Yeah, yeah, you grew up here, so I get it.
Yeah, yeah, dude. So I'm like, fuck that. Bull Hatch is not like that. Nobody talks like that. Like, that's not what it is. And then sometimes I'll see a clip and it was like, actually, that's actually pretty accurate. That's how, like, it is, but within, like, the niche of the niche of the niche of, like, the homies where, like, y'all are, like, college educated. You work in movement spaces. You're organizers, right? You're, like, you're in this very inner circle mm-hmm. of, like, each other because of the work you do.
Like, kind of elite.
Yeah. No, I mean, in some ways, yeah, because you're separating yourself from people because your experience in academia, organizing, you know, mm-hmm. wokeness, consciousness, all that stuff. And even the intentions you put yourself for how you live your life, right? It's that in itself also separates you from, like, just folks getting by every day. But I was like, man, fuck this show.
Nice. Okay. Taking notes on, man.
It's not for me. It's not for people from, I would say it's not people from the neighborhood. Oh, it's for people who live in other communities who don't have that.
Nice.
And the director, one of the directors and writers of the show, has explicitly said that like, I grew up in, like, you know, in the Central Valley out here, like, we didn't have this kind of stuff, like stores like Espacio and Culture and Murals and stuff like that. You know, they came into their own and found that later on in life. And then they see a neighborhood like Bull Heights that kind of had all of that kind of stuff they wish they had. And, you know, it's easy to fall in love with the neighborhood, but then they took all of that and just turned it into a TV show.
I see. You know? I understand.
Like, if I was going to make my own TV show, somebody give me money. It wouldn't look like that. It wouldn't be catering to the Netflix crowd, to a white gaze.
Yes.
Yeah, so enough about that show.
Thank you for being honest, man. I like that.
Yeah, dude. If you like the show, you like the show. We all like different. I'm watching anime, so.
Yeah.
Watch whatever you want. We all got our things to get us going. But
guilty pressure.
Yeah, but no, the representation of our communities in mainstream media, in movies and TV shows, always hits like a nerve. And like you were explaining, right, with us, despite how problematic those old movies are and, like, the portrayal of, like, Chicanos and Latinos with, like, everything having to do with being in prison, drug use, like, gang life and all that stuff, it's not perfect, but for us, it has, like, that nostalgia bit to it because, like you were saying, that was, like, some of the first few times we were seeing ourselves as, like, Latinos, you know, Mexicans in the United States and ourselves being represented up there. Because it's not something, even today, it's not something you still get.
Nope. We still have to ask.
Yeah. Yeah. So what was it like growing up in Echo Park for you back then?
Back then, man.
Because if it was in the 90s, that was when, like, in the beginning when it started changing.
Yeah. So a lot of my experiences were not the same as other barrios just because... Mm. I was born in 95, so early 2000s, that's when I see the changes happening. Now that I look back, I see that starting from 2000 and onward. Like, it started with Silver Lake, like, back in the 90s,
it's right next door,
And it kind of just started spreading slowly, and it was cool, man. But it was cool growing up there. You know,
I bet, man.
It's always been beautiful, right? It's always been full of beautiful people.
I mean, that's why so many people wanted to move there.
It's not cool now. You know, it's always been cool. That's always something I have to tell people. Like, it's always been fucking cool. You know, we've always been there. But it was cool, man. I mean, I grew up knowing certain people from there, and I lived right across the Echo Park Lake for a while.
That's nice.
Yeah, then we moved to Angelino Heights.
Nice.
So still Echo Park, right there.
What were some of the things that, as you were saying, you saw things changing? What were some of those things?
Well, the main one, businesses.
Okay.
The local marqueta I used to go to, the local little market your grandma used to go to was not there. Mm. Little bars weren't there. You know, gradually, more and more these, you know, businesses started changing. And then the houses. These okay houses, the, you know, just normal houses from the outside, they changed completely, man. They were like super decorated and, you know,
pretty much flipped.
Sold and flipped. Yeah, there you go. So that's when I didn't notice all this till I was around 20.
Okay.
So 6 years
ago. So being older. Yeah.
Yeah, because we call them turistas, bro, the hipsters. My dad was like, llego mucho turista.
What else are you going to call, like, people you normally wouldn't see in your neighborhood?
And they creeped up on us, man, like that. And, you know, it's just a balance, man. I mean, gentrification has always been a double-edged sword for those that own properties, right, or have businesses, right? So depends on who you talk to, but I believe there should be some balance, and the city should intervene on affordable housing. And
most definitely. I mean, that's honestly where a lot of the conversations are now in terms of what our politicians and the city and the state, to an extent, have and haven't done in terms of helping people stay at home, right? With not being able to work for, like, so many months, that we need more renter protections and more resources helping people be able to stay home and pay their bills and, you know, give rent forgiveness and all these other stuff. But yeah, now that you were talking about what you saw growing up, it reminded me of that movie Quinceañera.
I vaguely remember that movie.
So that it's a movie about this young woman getting pregnant.
I remember that.
That was part of the story. And then the other part of the story was her brother also exploring his queer identity.
Yeah.
And then the grandpa, who was like a street vendor in the neighborhood.
I don't remember that, but that would have struck a chord. I mean, if I watch it now, because my abuelo started as a street vendor.
Mm.
And then that's how he started his restaurant.
It was a really good movie. I forget who directed it. I can grab my phone and look it up, but I'll let y'all do that. And if you haven't seen it, I will say this, that it's good enough to watch and be included in, like, the catalog of, like, classic hood movies.
Mm-hmm.
Because it really does capture what you were sharing in terms of like how Echo Park was changing. New folks are coming in, displacing others, and how the neighborhood was changing for everybody who's been there for so long.
Yeah, man. I remember watching that movie. Don't remember everything, but
I got it on DVD.
You got it on DVD?
Swami.
the thin
casing one? Like the plastic case, todo. Like I went to the swap. I forgot which swap meet I went to once. But I saw that one and like a bunch of other hood movies. I was like, give me all those movies.
But you got them in the original like DVD casing?
Yeah, the old DVD casing.
We have it. We have it for sure, but we have it in the pirata ones. Remember those?
Yeah.
The little thin ones like that with the plastic wrapping?
Yeah.
And the cover was printed on paper. And
all like that. Funky looking and like microwaved.
All of the movies we watched, bro, we're pirata movies.
Well, I mean, come on, man. You can't beat that price.
Yeah, man. And we used to get them from the guy across Guadalupana right there in Echo Park. He used to be selling.
I sometimes miss that. That not people selling bootleg stuff out of necessity, but them, you know, taking ownership of space and being like, hey, like, you know, I'm comfortable enough here to sell what I need to sell to get by, right? And that creates a whole different vibe of the neighborhood.
Yeah, my dad used to sell CDs, man. He only did it for like a month, I think, right in front of Guadalupana. And then I guess he was like, fuck this. So he did something else.
It's not easy.
It's not easy.
You gotta be a real good salesperson, like get people enticed and be like, come on, I'll give you a good deal.
We used to burn them. You know, with, remember that software, Nero or Nero, whatever? And then he used to burn them, and then he would print the labels.
Man, I mean, I'll admit this, that I used to go to the public library, rent CDs, and, like, you know, just, like, download the music to my computer.
All right. Yeah.
That's what the library is for, is providing resources. Yeah,
before LimeWire and...
I mean, at the same time as all of that. Like, because you can't find everything online. You know, sometimes it'll be like, oh, shit, they got this album here at the library. Let me, like, put it on hold and check it out, you know?
Nice, yeah.
So you make do with what you got, but, yeah. It sounds like you grew up in a time when everything was in transition, but you still got to experience community with your family and, like, all the folks you live next to. So you also started talking about the shop and how y'all found a space. What was it about this space where y'all are in now where y'all decided, like, we should do it here?
So this is something that has been, you know, growing within us for the past 6 years.
You and your sister?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, 6 years for me, like 3 years for her, because she's 23 now. So right out of high school, man, like, you know, I was just out and about. I was, you know, fucking around, just doing my thing. Didn't really think about much.
I feel that.
23, 24 around there. Started thinking differently, started talking to other people, going to events, dialoguing, you know, just sharing my experiences and hearing from other people and finding my own identity. There's a whole talk about identity, so I was like, what do you mean identity? Like, you know, people would tell me about these things and I would just start thinking about what the fuck am I, what am I doing here? And then
questioning things.
Community and what it is to be, you know, Chicano or indigenous or La Raza, you know, all that shit, right? Because I grew up in Echo Park. And there wasn't a lot of that over there.
Not at the time when you were there.
Not at all, bro.
Like, it was changing. Yeah.
I always saw it as a East LA thing.
That's safe to say.
You know, and I know this isn't East LA. People always, from Boyle Heights are always fighting about. We're not East LA.
Look, we live in greater East LA area.
But, yeah, I started talking to different people, and then I just started thinking that about community and what it is to uphold these values and, you know, push your raza and help out the community, right? Like, you know what I'm talking about. I think everybody listening to this knows.
We've all had that experience, about, like discovering ourselves.
Yeah, so it started from there, and then being in Echo Park, we saw the changes, and we knew we couldn't open up a business there anytime soon, just because anything under 1,000 square feet was probably 5,000.
Damn.
Yeah, like prices skyrocketed, so we couldn't open up a shop there during the pandemic. So we started looking for other alternatives, other barrios, and we found out about this one here in Boyle Heights, and obviously we know what Boyle Heights is about, how you guys get down, and it's in line with what we're about now, what we think about, or okay. Me. I should speak about myself. My sister might have a different experience, pero, and I was like, you know what, I think we should put it there, help out the local economy, you know, just go from there and contribute, you know, and not displace people and not, you know what I'm talking about, right? Just
no, y'all are being very intentional about where you want to be, what kind of space you want to have, and what kind of community you want to support. Because to me, that's what bike shops are. Despite that, you know, at face value, you are a business, right? You have to pay your rent like anybody else. But so many of us in the hood like live off of or depend on our bicycles. That it also turns into a service that folks need.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you need to get something replaced, something fixed. You got to get a new part, got to get a new lock. Or, you know, the worst thing that could happen is somebody fucking steals your bike and you need to get a new one.
Yeah, man. So without getting too much into the politics of, you know, moving into a new barrio, although we're very conscious of what to do and not to do, it really comes down to just survival, bro. Like I told you, we needed something to do. I didn't have money coming in. She didn't have coming in. And then everything else was just, like, secondary. And it just ended up falling into place like that. But really, really survival, bro. We're here because we needed to pay our bills.
Don't we all? Shit.
So that's why we're here. And then the other stuff is just icing on the cake, man.
It's nice.
Just, yeah.
And then the building you're in itself has a little bit of history. Because it's right, like, literally down the street, you walk, like, less than a block, and you cross the street, and you're right there where the new bridge is being built. So you got that mounting pressure. And then I know from, like, some of the past that this building itself and its owner, like, has, like, had some history with tenants being kicked out and pushed out so they could flip it, renovate it, and start renting it to what I believe is the new, quote-unquote, crowd of people that they're expecting to come in. Once that bridge is built in, like, the next year or so, because, like, if you pass by, you can see the arches already being built. A lot of it is pretty much done. I think they're just finishing up a lot of the finer details of it. But is that something y'all have, like, been keeping in mind? Like, has that something that has come up, like, with the owner in terms of, like, y'all renting the space and doing renovations and stuff like that?
Definitely, man. That's one of the reasons we got it, too. Because I know when there's huge development like that, you know, it changes the landscape, right, of a neighborhood. So that's why I got it too. And then just looking at the entire space, 3,500 square feet. We have a basement. You were there last time.
Yeah.
It's beautiful, bro. So we can not only have a bicycle shop, but we can host events, community events, and little pop-ups. Help out in whichever way we can, right, by offering space. Because space is something that's really... it's not that easy to access for some of us, right?
Yeah.
Like, space is very valuable. So to work on your craft or do whatever you want to do, right? So the bridge really influenced that too. We know what changes like that mean, and we know we're aware what the landlords in the area are thinking.
Yeah.
You know, it's obvious. So that's where you got it too, you know? Let's hold this space. You know, let's be here and let's hold up this side of Boyle Heights, you know, because a lot of stuff goes down in First or Chavez.
Yeah.
Right. And what about Whittier Boulevard? You know, it's like an OG street as well, you know?
Yeah. Most people, when they hear Whittier, they think further east where, like, folks are cruising Doing Whittier side. Yeah, yeah. The other side of Whittier, not all the way over here.
Yeah, we're the first block of Whittier. And yeah, we're aware of that. And that's also why we're here. But really, we didn't think about that till like maybe a month later.
Okay.
It was more at the beginning. It was, how can we just pay some bills, man? How can we get in there, man?
Yeah, survive. Like
so that was the first thing. But all this just came later or within that same time frame. And just worked out, man. I mean, it's perfect, bro. Like, my name's Jolene. And the street here is Hollins.
Okay.
So if you take out the H, Orleans Street.
Don't be surprised if that happens.
So that's all I need to know, brother. I need to be here.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, you mentioned struggling and, like, opening the shop out of necessity. Now that y'all have been open for, you know, more than a year, what have been some of the challenges in keeping the shop running and open?
You got like 3 hours, bro.
like off the top, like what's something that like maybe something you have to deal with on a regular basis, or like it's on the back of your mind.
Well, paying the rent, because we're not only dealing with the things that come with being a new business, right? Which is a lot of things, like your first year, second year. Don't expect profits. That's always what they say, right?
Yeah, you got to stock up and put in all that inventory and everything.
You're probably going to lose money, but you just got to keep going at it, be persistent for the first year. And that's why our hours are from 11 to 8, right? And 7 days a week. So
that's hard in itself, man. Yeah. Like, you're the only one here. And I like 7 days a week, like busting your butt.
So it's been the rent, man, every month. And then there's COVID on top of being a new business, right? So every month is like purgatory, bro. Like we're constantly like, are we gonna make it? And we do make it, but every month, you just never know. You can't just be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna make it, because you make it every month, right?
Yeah.
That's not how my mind works. I'm not gonna just be like, yeah, I'm gonna make it. So it's been a struggle, man. But rent has been one. What else? Marketing has been another one. Like there's so much competition now. Like Google and Google ads and all that shit, Instagram ads. Like.
Oh, yeah, man. That sucks. Yeah, because you got to pay to play to get out there for that kind of digital exposure.
Yeah, and if you don't have the resources, man, you're not getting views, right? So, but you can tweak it. You can mess around with. I mean, if anyone's listening that struggles with that, there are ways to, like, tweak it and make it work for you. There's just a lot of YouTube resources.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of resources online that show you how to tweak that, because a lot of times, Google Ads would just, they just want you to pay more, right? So they throw in a bunch of shit all the time. Emails after emails, like, add this,
add that. It's like a scam, man. Yeah.
But if you just pay enough, a couple bucks, a couple cents, you're going to get views, man. You know, and that goes a long way. Because if somebody comes in and you market yourself good to them and you give them good service, they're going to tell their friends and so on and so on.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I ended up here. The homie Alejandro, I saw them post that they came to your shop on Instagram. It was like, oh, shit, I know there's a new bike shop over here. Because I live on the other side, on the northern side of Bull Heights. So I would have to have a reason to be all the way over here to pass by or something. So the homie put me onto it, and I've just been coming through ever since. So, like, word of mouth, it's...
Alejandro, he works at the coffee shop, no?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember him. They recently stole his bike.
Man,
the nice one.
That's a nice bike.
What was it, a Fuji? Or?
I can't remember, but I know they were riding it like to work. También.
Or a Cannondale. I think it was a Cannondale.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that shit was beautiful, man.
No, don't leave your bikes outside.
Yeah, don't leave them outside. Get yourself a good lock. Not one of those cables. They'll cut them.
Man, I'm becoming that annoying person that. Don't ever talk bike stuff to me, because then I'll just tell you all these things and you'll be hella annoyed.
I learned not to do that.
Because I want you to keep your shit.
Yeah.
You know, I want you to... I mean, some people know this, but I do bike advocacy with a nonprofit, right? Mm. So at the basic level, the most things we do is like education about like, these are the laws, this is what you should do, this is what you shouldn't do according to the law when you ride your bike. And on top of all of that, mixed in... is like, oh, like this is the proper like way to adjust your seat so you're comfortable, so you know you're not messing up your knees, you're not messing up other parts of your body riding your bike. Because if you have a really uncomfortable experience riding your bike, you're not going to want to do it. It's worse, you can hurt yourself long term.
That is the main reason people stop using bikes.
Yeah.
I noticed. Because they think you just get on it. You just take it out of the store, you get on it, and that's it. But you got to check your tire pressure, bro. You got to take your saddle
height.
Your
ABCs.
Height. Yeah, your handlebars, man. Your gears, your brakes. You got to do it thorough, you know.
I mean, we were just talking about that before we started recording that. As I'm getting older and I'm doing a different kind of riding that isn't the same as I used to, I need to, like, dramatically switch that up. And that includes also considering switching up the kind of bike frame that I have, too.
Yeah, a viejito bike.
Yeah. it's true, because right now I have a road bike. And with the road bike, the way your body and your weight is positioned, it moves toward your hands and your shoulders, right? Because you're sitting and you're leaning forward. So all your weight goes there. Mm-hmm. And for me, over the years, I've noticed that as I've gotten older, that position in a prolonged period of time leads to numbness in my hands and in my arms. It's like, I don't like that. That's not good.
Have you tried some CBD?
I can use the pomadas and all that other stuff. But to me, that's also a sign that, like, that if that's an issue, then it's going to keep getting worse, whether medical treatments or something like that. So it's a big flag for me that I started really thinking about, well, maybe now is the time to start considering a different bike frame where the weight is shifted somewhere else and not my hands.
Yeah, it's something riders deal with at some point. Like I recommended earlier, maybe the flat foot design bikes by Trek or Electra. Trek owns Electra. You know, those are pretty good. So they have pretty upright positions and they're comfortable and they're fast.
Yeah.
And they even have an e-bike model. So if you want, you know.
Yeah. We can get a little bit into that after this. But so, yeah, y'all are struggling to pay rent. You know, that's always a fucking problem. I know one problem you always have is dealing with the shipping delays. How does that been with, like, getting new merchandise in?
Like any other industry, we constantly tell people we're going to have it next month. It never shows up. So a lot of our stuff is stuck either in transit or on the docks or in China or wherever they make them. And
that's not your choice. Like, you got your supplier. That's where they get it from.
Yeah, a lot of people don't understand that. I mean, I understand why they don't understand it, right? As a customer, you don't think about those things. You just go
and
you're like,
chain and shit.
Get me what I want to pay for.
Yeah.
You know, here's my money, take it.
Well, what you want to pay less for, too. Yeah. People always want a deal.
Yeah. Yeah. That's another thing we struggle with, man. It's like trying to get affordable things while still staying alive. You know, so it's a big conversation these days. Especially in, you know, circles like us, like, how do we, there's so much I can do with my money, bro, like, you know, give me a deal. And I'm like, whoa, you know, we got to pay bills too, man. So
yeah,
to be honest, man, straight up, we got to pay bills too, man. So expect things to go up just because we got to stay alive and we want to keep offering these services, you know.
I mean, and just like you said, it's for everyone. Inflation is fucking getting everyone. Gas is, like, ridiculous again. And it's just, honestly, we as people have to really be a little bit more conscious of that, right? Of who we're asking for discounts and why. Because this is not the Swami. There are intentional spaces where that is part of the experience. You can talk to somebody about, like, hey, how much for this? All right. Well, give it to me for, like, $3 less.
Right? Oh, yeah.
You know? That there's spaces for that. But as my mom would say to me growing up in Spanish, lo barato sale caro.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure, bro. Like, we always,
if you cheap out on something, it's going to cost you more in the long run.
I always try to tell people that, like, yeah, you can find this. You can find some bikes for $250 at Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you something, man. Like, that bike is only going to last you 6 months at most. And here's why. The components are just cheaply made to keep it at that price.
Right? It's mass manufactured.
Yeah. They're big box stores. They don't really, you ask them anything about bicycles, they don't know. They just want to sell you the bike, right? And we can't fix them for you, or we can't really work on them because we don't sell those bikes. We don't know them, but we do know they're cheap. So, yeah, lo barato sale caro, man. And that's a constant struggle too, man. It's keeping things affordable here, you know.
It's a balance. I feel that for sure. Because for me, I'm super grateful and appreciative that, you know, I'm being very intentional with where I take my business and not having the need to be like, oh, well, let me go here because I know I can, like, talk this guy down and get a deal or whatever.
Yeah, there are places like that. I always recommend people, you know, the Bicycle Kitchen, stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, it's starting to get up and running again, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
There are bike co-ops like the Bike Kitchen, BC Libre and Pico Union, este, Bike Oven. Sorry, I got Bike Oven and Bike Kitchen confused. The Bike Kitchen has always been up and running. The Bike Oven in Highland Park is starting to get up and running again.
Yeah, those spots do a lot of good service for the communities, man, for people that are on super strict budgets.
Yeah, yeah. So if you've never been to a bike co-op, it sounds like what it is. It's a communal space where you can come in. If you need to work on your bike, you know, you can put in some wrench time and kick down a couple of bucks to support the space. Mm-hmm. You can. They also have, like, fix-to-own programs where you can go into the space, you can build up a bike, and when you finish building it, they give it to you.
There you go, man. You know? Couldn't have said better myself, man.
Yeah, I've been to so many bike co-ops for everything from, like, getting things done on my bike and learning something new to just hanging out in the spaces.
Yeah, and that's something we plan here, too. Like I was saying, you know, the whole idea of being community-oriented, that came with the space, obviously, not at the same time. But we have plans like that for the long run, man, but not now yet. You know, it's yeah. just very difficult right now. And with these new variants and all that shit, bro, like, you really got to think about it. But first things first right now, like, I think we're on the same boat as everybody else, paying our bills.
Yeah.
But we do have plans. We host our first comedy night. Couple nights ago, you
yeah,
went out.
I came here. It's kind of funky, but coordinating with the homie Rafa.
It went down, man. I mean, it, you know, things.
But that's what I appreciate, man. You're being very intentional. You know, you're doing it. You're making it happen, and as long as y'all keep doing it, you know, that'll build up, like, to get more folks in here.
Yeah, man. Very very conscious of what to do and what not to do. Always learning too, right? We don't know everything, right? So we're always learning what to do, what not to do.
Yeah. And then how has it been remodeling the spaces since I've been here, like, a couple of different times throughout the year? It's always could look kind of look a little different. So where are y'all at right now with renovations?
Right now we're on phase two. Ooh. Well, we're about to go on to our phase two.
Okay.
Early January. So if anyone's been here before, the shop was like, how much is that? Maybe like 800 square feet, 900 square feet.
Your guess is best than mine.
From there to there, because it's 35 for everything, so 17 half. So yeah, about 800, 700. That was the shop before. We had a couple bikes, a bunch of parts up. Not the best what we could afford back then. Things that would last you like 2 months, and we know because you can tell right away, and customers would tell us, hey, it broke already. So, you know, we started like that. Slowly moving into what we envision the shop to be like.
Okay.
As the pandemic dies down and as the economy gets better and as we make more money, obviously. But the first renovations, we didn't pay anyone really to do anyone. People volunteered. Homies.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah, so a lot of people know that. But homies volunteer. There's a guy down the street named Paya. He's a homeboy. He's been here for since LA was made.
Damn.
He's an OG since the Californios. And you know, he has love for his block, so he helps out everyone, bro. Everyone in the neighborhood whenever they need plumbing or electricity or
some handyman stuff.
Whatever, he's there, bro. So people love him. And he came around here, he introduced himself, and he did the drywall work. Some demo, because we had a wall, and now we have this pillar here that you see on our pictures. So we left that pillar because there's an electrical box there. And I didn't want to pay to move that because we didn't have the money. So another friend of ours, Miner, shout out to Miner, Miner Chinchilla. He's an artist. He works with castings, like, what's that, the resin?
Okay.
Castings, and he does, like, muebles, like, furniture. He's,
nice.
He's a craftsman like that. He came down, and he did those drawers we have over there.
Nice.
You see the ones where...
Yeah, the ones that are the counter now.
Yeah, the shelves there. He did that out of plywood. I bought plywood, the cheapest one I could find, except for the top. The top was like birch. So I splurged a little just for a fancy top. And we just did them, bro. He did that. And I gave him a couple things to each on you know, bike parts or whatever. And
yeah, yeah.
They volunteered their time. You know, they came through and... They believe in us, and they see what we're doing. So yeah, that was the first renovation.
That's fucking dope, man. Getting support like that.
We painted. We did everything ourselves. We planned to have that done in like 3 days, but it took longer than that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was the first renovations, man. It just came out of like nowhere like that. I thought it was the best time. The wall that was dividing was just drywall and like 2x4s. So it was really simple to just knock down. It wasn't like those support beams there. It wasn't
not like the cinder blocks, yeah.
So it was easy, man, and yeah. It was all free work.
Hell yeah.
That's dope.
Folks coming through like that. So the next thing I wanted to ask is, what has it been like? You know, y'all have been here for a year. What has it been like with like folks coming in the doors? Because I know I mentioned this a little bit earlier. In the last year since the pandemic, like more and more folks have been like getting on their bikes, right, and being active. So what kind of folks have you been getting through the doors come in?
The first months we opened was all kinds of people.
Hmm.
Because bicycle sales were at an all-time high during those days. And people were looking up bike shops and everything. So we had all kinds of people. We had people come in from Orange County, bro.
No shit.
Van Nuys, the valley up north.
Damn.
We had people coming from all over the city just because there wasn't, the county, just because there wasn't bicycles anywhere. So they would just Google and whatever they could find, even if they had to go a couple miles. So all kinds of people. And then obviously the locals, they started to get to know us more. At first they were kind of like, who are these people? You know, what are they doing? Like, I'm sure we had a couple people from the Fen Boyle Heights come in. Because we had a lot of people come in and just be like, what's up? Just look around and be like, what's your name? Where are you from? And I'd be like, oh, well, you know, from Echo Park, blah, blah, blah. And I would just share my story. Because I already knew. I knew that.
Wow, that's some, like, intimidating shit right there.
They were coming to check, you know, check us. And when they knew I was brown and I get down, you know, and I'm all for it. And I would share my stories about Echo Park, how we can't open up a business there right now. People were like, okay, and then more people started coming in. So I guess word spread, like, oh, these guys are down or whatever, and then more locals started showing up. But even to this day, we're 18 months into it. Every day we get someone new from the neighborhood.
That's dope.
So there's still a lot of people out there that don't know we're here, man. So, you know, let's put it out there, man.
It's kind of random too, because when I was here, I think I was buying. Oh no, you were putting new tape on my grip bar on my bars. On my handlebars, we were just chopping it up, and this dude got off the bus, just walked in here, started looking the bikes, and like, hey, I want to buy that bike. And he just pulls out like a wad of cash because he said he just got paid. He pulled out a couple of $100 like in singles,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, let me buy that bike. And then he's like, boom.
I don't remember that, man.
I remember that because he just rolled out of the bus.
What? Do you remember what model he took?
It was like some black single speed bike. But he was like chatting it up también that, you know, he recently got out of jail. You know, they got a job. They're trying to get.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to come up and like get on the straight path. And that their commute sucks because they just got off the bus. So they're like, man, I should get a bike. That way I can just like get around a lot easier.
Yeah, I remember now. Yeah.
It tripped me out. He's just like, let me get off the bus and buy a bike.
Well, that was 2020?
Yeah, I don't know. It happened in the summer.
That was 2020. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe.
And those type of people is what we got a lot during the COVID. I mean, people were getting unemployment money too, bro. So.
Oh, también.
People were coming in.
Stimulus.
And like, give me that. Give me that. And they still come by. You know, they get repairs and maintenance and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, man. A lot of people.
What can you tell folks who haven't been to the shop? What are some of the stuffs? Some of the things you carry in the shop.
So at the moment, we try our best to bring affordable bicycles, affordable accessories, and affordable parts that also give us enough margin, right, to stay afloat. It's difficult to find that, especially these days. I know people don't really think about those things, man, but everything impacts us, right? The price of production, of processing raw materials goes up. The price of transportation, the price of moving things to their final destinations, right? Like, it all impacts us, and we're trying our hardest to find those things. So at the moment, we have a couple brands for bicycle brands here, we have Retrospec, which I think everybody knows those are really affordable. And they're really good quality for the price, man.
I can vouch for that. My bike is a Retrospec.
Yeah, there you go. So we have Retrospec and State Bicycles. That's what we've been staying afloat with. Occasionally, I brought in a few other like BMX bottles, like BMX models, like Cold King, stuff like that, mm-hmm. right? But at the moment, Retrospec and State Bicycles. We also do Lowriders, which they're right behind us here.
It's the Lowrider section.
Yeah, Lowrider section. We have 26-inch frames, which are beach cruiser frames, and 20-inch. And some stretch cruisers, which are pretty badass, but they're fucking...
They're like
8 feet long or something like that. So good luck getting that in your car.
They're long boys.
But we do that. And again, we try to keep things affordable. The lowrider stuff can get pretty pricey. The cheapest 26-inch frame, the beach cruiser frame, build is probably around... 850 maybe.
Yeah, man, but that's like parts and labor.
Yeah,
that's not easy to put a bike together.
It's not easy, and also a lot of these parts are handmade.
Yeah,
in China or Taiwan, and to coat them in gold, or just to coat them in chrome, that's a pretty penny right there, right? So, it's justifiable. We try to keep it affordable. We don't try to make three times what we pay for them. And we don't charge for assembly, so it's all included in the parts.
Oh, and shit.
We don't have complete lowriders because people always want to change things up, right? So before...
You want to customize it, yeah.
I've had them here complete, and they're like, I'll take it, but I want this, this, and that changed. So I take those parts out, and since they're all pretty much tightened by bolts and nuts or whatever, they'll get scratched, or you'll have the mark there of the bolt. And I put them back in the shelves here, and people come by, and they're like, oh, this one's used. Because it already has that imprint, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, no, it's not used. It's just we had it on a display bike. Someone bought it, but it's still new. So I don't have to deal with that because it can get kind of, you know, interesting.
People
with some
get people. Picky.
Yeah, man. So we just have the parts. We walk you through the process. The whole process, bro, takes at least an hour and a half. Mm. So if you're gonna come out here, you know, have some time and be patient. What we don't have, we can order for you. We have the product on our website. We'll walk you through it. This is what we have. This is what you can add. This is how you can make it. This is a different style of lowriders. Mm-hmm. It always helps out if you have something in mind already. So if you go on Google and you do your research, you're like, I like this style.
These handlebars. These seat, this pedal. I mean, I would be down for a lowrider bike with a steering wheel. Actually, like, it has no point. It just looks cool.
You can use it. You can just leave a steering wheel with no handlebars.
It's like that big-ass turning radius.
Yeah. Yeah, so we do that, man. But now that you're talking about the steering wheel, a lot of these parts are just for show, too, man.
Yeah, dude, it's a lowrider bike.
Yeah, so a lot of people get confused, and they're like, this is going to be my daily. And I'm like, this can't be your daily, bro.
Nah.
You can't ride 10 miles with this every day. Like,
I don't know where they're going to ride 10 miles without hitting a hill here.
Yeah, exactly. And that's something people get confused with, man. And they come here and they expect a fully pimped out bike as their daily. But the more parts you have on it, the less rideable it gets.
It gets heavier.
So if you want a daily lowrider, you can, but you just don't expect all the twisted parts or that fancy shit. Mm-mm. So we can turn it into a basic beach cruiser with a lowrider fork and maybe the wheels. That can be your daily. But if you want to trick it out, no.
Yo, man, I've seen señores ride like some Frankenstein bikes, and I was like, yo, man, they're getting the most out of that bike.
Oh, man. I know
what you're
talking about,
what you got to do, what you got to do to get by.
Oh, man, yeah. We got a lot of those, man. I'm telling you, man. It's I'm going to tell them, hey, man, your bike is hell, you know?
I mean, it's not cosmetically looking the best, but it gets the job done.
It gets the job done, man. But when they add too much stuff to it and they come here for an inner tube change, I'm like, bro, that's... I'm like, I got to charge you like $15, bro, porque you got to have me moving all these parts. And a lot of times they'll weld stuff on there or they'll add things that are not from bikes, from lowrider bikes. So then... You know, we got to talk to them nicely. But, hey, you know what? if you remove these parts, I'll charge you the regular price. And they're like, most people are like, oh, yeah, we'll do it.
Don't understand. It's your bike, man. I don't want to deal with it.
Yeah. Well, basically.
You know what you did.
Yeah, man. And because we have to be fair, you know? Like, labor, man, like, in that hour I'm taking to change your interview, you know, I could have helped out the people that are waiting here, mm-hmm. blah, 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 mm-hmm. right? So it all comes down to that. How can we keep things fair and, you know, just be aware of that. But another thing we sell is accessories for bikes, lights, helmets.
Let's see, I'm seeing over here, like, derailleurs, front chain, the front star for the pedals.
The crank.
I forget my words sometimes. U-locks, front and rear, baskets, rims, seats. Yeah, like I've come in here personally to get my handlebars retaped, bought a new seat. Car rack. Fine. After all these years of having a bike, I have a finally.
Well, you got
a
special.
Car rack. Yeah, when you were doing the 1 year anniversary sale.
Oh yeah.
I've been here a few times to get inner tubes también because I'm always giving those out.
You give them out?
Yeah, yeah. Because well, I do group. Whenever I'm on group bike rides, mm-hmm. you know, I'm usually playing support. So if somebody has inner tube shit like going on, I'll bust out the inner tube. Be like, yeah, here you go. Boom.
Oh, nice, man. Yeah, let us know when that goes down, bro. We'll help you out. We'll be the...
It doesn't happen all the time, but, you know, it's one of those things I'm, like, always prepared of. Like, I got my tools, I got my inner tubes, I got my pump.
You guys have any sponsors?
Nah. I mean, we work as a nonprofit, so we get, you know, nonprofit money and grants and stuff yeah. like that here and there to help offset the cost of having to, like, purchase that stuff.
Yeah, we'll help you guys out, man. We'll give you guys things at wholesale price. Or
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We're always down for that, man. Like, you know... Anybody listening, you need some bike stuff for your organization or your group or whatever, come down. We'll help you out. We're always talking to people and offering the space, too. So we started offering the space December. We have some space downstairs that's pretty empty. You can see it on our Instagram. If you need...
It's a big old placement. Big black placement. Placement.
Yeah. If you need pop-up space or... little events like that will help you out, and we don't
collab. Yeah, man.
We don't charge. We don't. I mean, you know, we're here for that. But to keep going with the bicycle stuff, we have computers, you know, that track your miles and even your CO2 miles. Mm. What you'd be spending, what you'd be like putting out there if you were driving.
Your carbon offset.
Your carbon offset. There you go. I forgot the term for that. We have grips, handlebars, man, tires, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. I mean, you're pretty well stocked. You know, for always facing. Delays in like shipping and everything,
and hopefully soon a little bit of thrift.
Nice.
I mean, I have the seller's permit. I
didn't know that was a permit.
Well,
for thrifting,
if because there's warehouses down by the factories on
yeah, Vernon. Yeah, we're close enough to them.
Yeah, Vernon. There, so there's not factories, but there's warehouses that buy bulk from.
Those damaged department store goods.
I guess so.
Yeah.
And then, or either from people, and you can buy all kinds of shit, bro. Leather jackets from the 70s, band t-shirts, denim from the 60s, 70s.
Shit.
Yeah, it's a whole ass business now, right? Which is also why we didn't continue the thrift, now that I'm remembering, bro. Porque this was a conversation we had, my sister and me, about thrift, how now it's... People are trying to make profits, right?
Yeah.
When before, thrift was always for people that were on a budget, right?
So you go find there, a deal, yeah.
T-shirts at $2, $3. Now you find those same t-shirts at 10, 12.
Right? I blame the young people.
Yeah, yeah. Young white people.
Because I'd be going to the swap meets, it's like, oh, that's a cool, like, Bugs Bunny shirt where they look like they're, like, you know, like crisscross, you know, with their pants backwards and...
Yeah.
Arms crossed. I was like, oh, I remember having that shirt as a kid. How much is it? $20.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because now it's priceless.
It's vintage.
It's vintage. Cool. Well, when for people back in your day, it was probably like, it's just a shirt.
It's just a shirt. Dude, I'm at the Swami and I was like, oh, Root Dogg shirt. I remember having that.
I don't even know what that is, man.
It's just a shirt with the pit bull.
Oh, the pit bull.
Yeah.
But yeah, young people, man, especially YouTubers and influencers and shit, and Kanye West. Man,
see, that's why I dress like a bum.
Being to Kanye West too, he blew it up with this when he was buying T-shirts from that one guy in New York or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The thrifting and vintage is taking on a whole new life, especially now in the last year that folks have been like going Marie Kondo under stuff and be like, oh, I can like get rid of all this stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why we stopped with that, because we were like, are we trying to just get rich off old clothing? And we're like, no. So we took off the thrift from the logo, aside from COVID restrictions, and we're still going to do it, but it's going to be low key. It's going to be like just the neighborhood thing. Just the neighborhood thing, just the local people know about it. We're not like, going to market it. It's kind of like, oh, they sell bikes, and you can get a sick-ass like leather jacket there for like very cheap.
That's the spot right there.
Yeah, so that's how we're going to keep it, maybe in a couple more months. But, yeah, man, big plans.
Yeah, and then recently, too, because of the demand, the same with like the increase of like people being out there and getting on their bikes and buying new bikes, people have also been coming up on electric bikes.
Yeah, that's the future, man. I'm going to say it right now, man. I think we all know it. Electric shit is the future.
Yeah. Right. So for folks that might not be familiar with an e-bike, like, break it down for them.
So nowadays, you can find some good e-bikes for under $1,500, right? You can still find, you can find some good deals on Amazon. And I know we're a bike shop here, but I'm just going to, for people that are on a budget, you can find some good deals on Amazon, man, if you want an e-bike. On a budget, you can find some on OfferUp, right?
Yeah, yeah, you can always find something used
for a good price. And every year, batteries are getting better and better, and replaceable parts are still kind of hard to get, especially if you're buying an Amazon bike or a Walmart bike. So keep that in mind. I always tell people, if you're gonna buy it somewhere else that isn't a bike shop, be prepared to struggle with finding a spoke of the same size for your wheel, a battery, replacement pedals, brakes, stuff like that.
And it's weird, too, because you would think that buying from a big box store, they would be general parts, right? And they would be easier to find, but come to learn that it's the opposite.
They're just in it for the profits.
Yeah.
But technology is improving. I can talk about e-bikes all day, man, but find something that's affordable, you know, has a good lifespan.
Like you said, it's an investment, right? Not buying like a bike that costs more than $1,000 is not a casual purchase. Mm-mm, mm-mm.
Look at the reviews, and if you can, buy it from a bike shop. But it's improving. It's getting better, just like electric cars.
Yeah.
You know, they've been getting better. So, yeah, man, they're the future, man. We're going to stock a lot of them coming mid-2020. Some Electra bikes, that's the name of the brand. Some track bikes, maybe. They're kind of expensive. And for sure, retrospect e-bikes. So now they're taking out a whole last line of motorcycle looking like, you know, e-bikes, like mopeds type, you know, style. All their current models, they're turning them into e-bikes now. So if you see any model you like that's a mechanical bike, they'll probably have it as an e-bike. Those are affordable. But yeah, man, it's getting big. And we're going to obviously, you know, jump on that.
Hell yeah. So something to keep an eye out for, something to consider if you're like me, the pondering the transition to another kind of bike for so many different reasons. But I could see myself like just running around the neighborhood on my little e-bike, like go get my burritos and tacos and stuff.
Yeah, I joke around with people and I still tell them, you know, I feel dirty riding an e-bike. I feel like I'm cheating.
Hey, man, they don't call Bull Heights like for nothing. Like, there's a lot of fucking hills up here.
Exactly. But that's just me messing around, man. You guys can do whatever you want. You know, I just like to poke fun at it. Pero, no, e-bikes are the future, man.
Yeah. So, with that being said, what are the store hours? When can folks come by?
We're here from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day, 7 days a week. From 2:30 to 3:30, we're on break.
Yeah, you got to get lunch.
Because I'm the only one here right now. Sometimes I have people helping me out. But I'm still the only one running everything. I'm the fucking the mechanic. I'm the bookkeeping guy. I am the janitor. I'm fucking everything, bro. So I'm still here. So sometimes you'll see the shop closed. I'm sure many of you have noticed. Sometimes I'm not open right away. It's just I have other things to do.
Life, basically. Life, yeah.
I mean, I have a cat también. You know, it's like my son, and my family helps me out. We're taking care of him now, but, you know, I also have to take care of that and other things too, man. But just, you know, keep that in mind. Shoot me a message on Instagram. you know, call the shop number. But, yeah, our hours are 11 to 8, 2:30 to 3:30 when I break.
Yeah, and I'll say this. You're pretty good about updating Instagram about, oh, like, I got some stuff to do today. I'm not going to open, or I'm going to open late. Or, like, being very communicative about, like, oh, shit, I'm not going to be open today, right?
We have to, man.
Yeah.
We have to. Pero, yeah, anything you guys need, we're here.
And then where can folks find you online?
So, we have our website.
I have it right here. It's Esquina. The way you spell is corner in Spanish. Esquina.la. That's the website.
Yeah.
And then the Instagram is at esquina.bikeshop.
Exactly. And you got everything, man.
Bam. Prepared.
Prepared, yeah. So www.esquina.la and Instagram, esquina.bikeshop.
Yeah. And then, like you said, the website's also, you can order parts there. You can see what you have in stock. I've done that. I've seen what you have in stock. And I'll be like, oh, cool. Let me order it there. And then I'll come pick it up.
Yep. A website, always, we try to always update it. Again, I'm the only one updating these things. Super easy now. The vendors make it really easy, the suppliers. But it does take some time, so we're there. And Instagram, obviously, you can see some of our products. And, yeah, just any questions, hit us up.
Cool. All right. Well, that's pretty much it for right now, folks. Thank you for listening. Thank you again, Olin.
No, thank you, man.
For inviting me to the space for the bomb chilaquiles, and, you know, for what you do for the community, because I appreciate bike shops. And, yeah, you know, come on through, support a small business. And if you need to be scolded about anything about bikes, you know where I'm at.
Yeah, this is
no, I'm kidding. I'll still do it with kindness. But yeah, this has been Orale Bohites. Thanks, y'all, for listening. Catch you on the next one.